Well, we've already had a wonderful example of what worship is. Did you enjoy praising God this morning? Thank you, worship team, for leading us in that. And thank you, Samantha and Abigail, for sharing your gifts before God this morning. We've been discussing the topic of worship. Along with the concept of worship comes the word shalom. A lot of people think that word means peace. But in its truest sense, it means the coming together, the uniting together of people in oneness. And this morning, as we have been singing praises to our God this morning and worshiping and praying in His presence, there is a oneness together this morning. I thank God for that. I thank Him for the presence of His Holy Spirit as we have come before His throne. You know, Hebrews tells us that we can come boldly before the throne of God. And when you're in the presence of God, and when you're in the presence of His holy throne, the perspective in your life changes a lot. This morning, I would like to. We've talked about the vertical shalom, our relationship with God, how important that is. We've talked about the horizontal shalom, which is the relationship we have with each other, as brothers and sisters in Jesus. Today I'd like to just talk a little bit about the preparation for worship. And you say, what? I took a bath and combed my hair, brushed my teeth, got dressed. I'm here and I'm prepared, Pastor. Yes, that's good. That's the external. The question I have is, as the title says, what's in your wallet? Now I realize that is a commercial that often we see on TV. But let me give you an example of the concept of preparation. There's nothing I love more than giving a gift to my little grandson. Now, Sean is, you've met him before. In fact, he was dedicated here in this church. And as he's grown up, we've built this very special relationship. As you might well imagine, it's based around, our love for one another, but it's also based around the idea of being gearheads. He loves cars, and so does Grandpa. And so, every so often, Grandpa sends a package to his dad, to Sean's dad. And along with whatever he's sending to Sean's dad, he sends a little something for Sean, too. And usually, it has something to do with cars. So a lot of times, it's a little Hot Wheels, and I hide it somewhere in the wrapping. And he knows every time a package comes, there's going to be something for him, so he has to kind of look for it. And whenever I'm around him, I also like to carry little things in my pockets that are gifts for him. So when Grandpa shows up, the first thing Sean does is he looks in my pockets, and then he'll find a little something. Or sometimes I'll hide it in the house, and I'll give him clues, and he goes looking for it. So this is kind of a little thing that we have between each other. And one time, this was just not too long ago, in fact, it was about a year ago, Grandpa went up, that's speaking of myself, that's hard to believe that, but I look in the mirror and I realize, yeah, I got the white hair and the whole thing going. So Grandpa went up to visit Sean and his daddy, of course, Rick, and Sean, of course, was anticipating this, because at his birthday, he'd just celebrated his birthday. And Grandpa had said over the phone, when Grandpa comes up in a couple weeks, he's going to take you to the store, the toy store, and you can pick something that you would like to have. Wow, that was exciting. Every day he would ask his dad, when is Grandpa coming? Is he coming today? No, Sean, in a week. Well, he was counting the days down. He was just building. The anticipation was building and building, almost to the point of where his father said, why did you do that to me? Finally, Grandpa came, flew in on a big airplane, and showed up, and Dad took him home with Sean, and Sean all the way to the house was saying, Grandpa, what did you bring? I said, remember, we were going to go to the toy store. Oh, that's right, we're going to the toy store. And so I could tell that this kid was really just, could hardly stand it. So when we got home and we had a little lunch, and then we said, okay, let's go to this toy store, which isn't far from where he lives in Walla Walla, Washington. Every time I say Walla Walla, it reminds me of Bugs Bunny. But anyway, so we go down to this place. All of you are familiar with it. I try to stay away, but in this town, that's the only big store there is. It's called Walmart. Because going to Walmart is like a whole trip in itself. And so we went to Walmart, and oh my goodness, there were rows and rows and rows of toys. Everything you can imagine. Now, when I was a kid, we had Tonka, we had Matchbox toys, and we had Corgi. Now, Corgi's a British company. Actually, Matchbox, I think, was too. But anyways, those are the main choices I had. Man, when we went to Walmart, there were every imaginable kind of car and truck and motorcycle and all these rows of superheroes. I didn't know there were so many superheroes. In fact, Jose, you were talking about superheroes. Anyway, well, he has plenty of Matchbox toys, plenty of Hot Wheels, and he's got a few Tonkas. But I thought, I wonder what he's going to choose this time. Well, this time, superheroes was on his mind. And so we went down the row of superheroes. I had no idea, just unbelievable how many superheroes there are. But the one in particular, finally he stopped in this one area, and it was called Captain America. I don't know who Captain America is. I only know who Batman and those guys, Dick Tracy and all those guys, you know. So here's Captain America. And not just one Captain America, there's a whole section of Captain America. You can get Captain America hats, and you can get Captain America shields, and swords, and little outfits, and pajamas, and blankets, and pillow covers, and yeah, even underwear. All Captain America. Wow. What a decision for a six-year-old. He went back and forth and back and forth. And I just followed him. I wanted him to make the decision. You know, that's a tough one to make. He wanted it all, of course. But, no, Sean, I already gave you $10, and you decide which one you want. And we found a few things. They were over $10. And finally, he saw this little figurine of Captain America, red and blue and black boots and all that stuff, and the shield and all that, all the getup he wears. But it was $12.55, I think, or 99 cents, something like that. And that's more than Grandpa had given him. And he kept looking at that $10 bill. And pretty soon he was starting to get a little intense. And I thought, wow, this poor little guy, you know, it's a tough decision. I said, well, you know, this over here is only $9.99. And here's one for $10. Finally, with a tear in his eye, he turned and he looked up at me and says, Grandpa, what's in your wallet? Needless to say, Grandpa went home penniless. But my heart was so full of joy because little Sean was so excited. He was just bubbling over with excitement. He was talking to Captain America, and he was talking to his dad when he got home and telling him all about Captain America. His little friends next door had to come over and see Captain America. He was just excited. He had anticipated this so long, and now finally he had Captain America. That's because Grandpa had just a few more dollars in his wallet. You know, I got to thinking about that and the excitement and the joy and the sparkle in his eye. And I thought to myself, if only we anticipated and looked forward to worship like that. Imagine the joy and the excitement and the energizing that we would receive here in church. I was also reminded by, I read this in an article not too long ago. Somebody was making an analogy of worship and how people respond to worship. And they said that worship was a lot like flying in an airplane. You go in and out of the same door. You sit down and you sit in a chair or a pew or whatever. And you basically endure the flight. And when you get to the other end, if somebody says, well, how was your flight? You say, oh, it was great. Now, I don't know, I've flown many, many thousands of miles. I have no idea how many thousands I've flown around the world several times. And planes to me are just They're a drag, really. If I really think about it, I've never had a flight that I just absolutely was thrilled to be on. You know? And especially nowadays, they don't even give you a meal. They just give you a little bag of peanuts. And peanuts isn't the greatest thing at high altitudes. But the thing of it is, there's really not a lot of excitement. The only thing you're excited about is when you get off the flight, suddenly you realize, I made it safely. The plane didn't crash. And so it's a good flight, right? I wonder sometimes if maybe we don't look at worship that way. It's just something we endure. It's something that, well, okay, I need to do it. It's important. Yes, I love Jesus. And so we come to church and we sit in the chair. We come in the same door and we leave in the same door. And we go away basically untouched or unaffected. I have to be honest with you. I've done that many times. And I got to thinking, well, then what's the difference? What's the difference between those who come to church and enjoy their time there so much so that when they leave, they can hardly wait to get back? Have you ever felt that way? When you leave church and you go, wow, does this really have to end? Or are you looking at your watch and going, my roast is burning, or my hot dogs are getting overcooked, or whatever. When we come to worship God, it needs to be a time that we prepare for all week long. It needs to be something that we anticipate, that we enjoy so much, that we can hardly wait for the doors of the church to open so we can get in here, so we can be in the presence of God, so we can be in the presence of other brothers and sisters who enjoy the experience of worship. We've talked a lot about the vertical relationship, the importance of daily connecting with God. We've talked about the relationship we have with one another and how important that is, that our relationship be a healthy relationship, that it becomes a shalom relationship, one that brings peace into our lives and joy into our lives. And I think that the difference between those who enjoy church and can hardly wait to be here is that those who come and enjoy it are those who come to bring something to God. Somehow in the last 2,000 years, worship has become a spectator sport where we come to watch and observe and listen. And we do it. And then we go. But if you go back in history and in time, you will discover that worship originally was a time set aside by God to fellowship, to shalom with those He created. God created this world in 6 days, and on the seventh day He created another day. If God hadn't created the seventh day, we would only have 6 days in the week. You ever thought of that? But God said, listen, I created the world and the universe I created in 6 days, and on the seventh day, God hallowed that day. He ceased from His labors. He hallowed it. He made it holy, and He blessed it. And the reason for the worship on the Sabbath is because God wants to be with His people. God anticipates all week long meeting with His people. He wants to be here. He is here. I heard you singing a little while ago, and I didn't turn around to look, but I thought, man, there's a lot of beautiful voices out here. On the worship team, we accept and expect the fact that they're good singers. I listened to what was going on behind me, and I'm going, boy, there's some beautiful singing going on today. And I thought, maybe it almost sounds like there's angels out there too. It's a bigger crowd than I expect. God comes to worship. He brings His holy angels into our presence. The Holy Spirit is here working amongst us, in our hearts, in our minds, touching us, healing us, inspiring us. So worship then becomes something that we anticipate. It's awesome. It's something that as we turn in God's Word, we discover that in the Bible it talks about that experience. Take a look at Ecclesiastes. In fact, I'll just have somebody read it. Somebody look up Ecclesiastes 5:1. Ecclesiastes 5:1. This is wisdom coming from the wisest to us. And it's in regard to the worship of God. Somebody find it, just read it out loud, just stand up or whatever you want to do. Just read it out loud. Ecclesiastes 5:1. Anybody?
Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and give him a ready to hear, and to give the sacrifice of bulls. For they consider not what they do.
Aha. It says the foot. In other words, keep your ways, the path that you are going, as you prepare for worship, and be ready to give. Isn't that right? Be ready to give. Because, as we know, in giving we what? We receive. You see, there's almost a cycle there. When we give, we receive. If all we want to do is receive and receive and receive, we're missing a very important element, a very important part of the worship experience. Keeping your foot. In other words, the idea is keep your foot from going the wrong way. Keep your foot sure. Keep it planted well. Be intentional on your preparation for worship when you go to the house of God. Moses, when he stood before the burning bush, he came close to the burning bush, and God said to him, Moses, you are standing on holy ground. Take your shoes off. I don't know, that might be an interesting experience, wouldn't it? In many countries, people do that. I remember growing up in Korea as a kid, the people took their shoes off when they came into church. When I visited a mosque, a Muslim mosque, a number of times in my life, they take their shoes off. You walk up to the front door and there's just piles of shoes. I don't know how they can tell which one's theirs, but they do. They have just piles of shoes. And people walk in. They walk in barefooted. They're in the presence of God. They have this sense of being in God's very presence. The humility, the humbleness, the anticipation. And they bow down and worship God. So pray. Here are some things that you might follow as you prepare for coming to church, as you prepare to worship God on Sabbath morning. Here's one. Pray before you come so that you can pray here. Pray before you come. One of the customs in Korea is when you come into church, the first thing you do is you sit down and you would bow your head and you pray. You ask for God's blessing. That might be something we should start a new tradition here at Point Loma. Wouldn't it be nice to pray? Here's another one. This might be for some of you. Sleep before you come so you'll be alert while you're here. You know, it's interesting because I pastored a church not so long ago that I could count on. There was one section that would fall asleep no matter who was preaching, so I didn't feel so bad. And I felt like saying, do you guys get enough sleep? Or could we give you something that would kind of perk you up a little bit? But sleep before you come. In other words, get a good night's sleep on Friday so that you'll be alert to hear God's word and to worship Him. Here's another one. Read the word. Read the word before you come. Read God's word and His counsel for you for every day of your life so your heart will be softened when you come into His presence. God does not want to worship with hard-hearted people. He does not want to worship with people that are obsessed and caught up with and only thinking about their daily lives. He wants us to stop our work, to stop all the stuff we do during the week, and He wants our attention now and here. Come, here's another one. Come, expecting God to speak. Expect it. Expect God to speak. Come hungry. That's good here because we have a potluck following our church service. So come hungry. But we're talking about spiritual hunger here. Okay? And come willing. Willing to serve. Come anticipating an experience with your God and your Creator. Come prepared to have your soul stirred by the Holy Spirit. Have you ever had your soul stirred by the Holy Spirit? Huh? God wants our hearts to be stirred. He doesn't want hard hearts. Oh, a number of years ago, this was up when I was in Oregon, there was this church that I used to drive by just about every day as I took the boys to school. And it had interesting little messages on the electronic board out front of the church. And it changed every week, of course. Most of it, I believe, was sermon titles and a text or a saying or something. But there was also a fixed message there. And it said, at 9:30 is casual worship. Now, I understand what they were trying to say. They were trying to say, come as you are. Come in your blue jeans. In our case here, it's flip-flops, whatever. But then there's another side to that. There is no such thing as casual worship. If you come to worship God, it's either red hot or it's not. We don't come to casually worship the God of the universe. Think about it, folks. We must not come with our hearts lukewarm or our souls lukewarm. We must come expecting to be in the presence of the God of the universe. There is no casual way to come before the God of the universe. Our hearts must be filled with joy. They must be overflowing with praise and overflowing with joy. Here's another perspective of worship. Just those of you, look at Ecclesiastes again, chapter 5. Again, and carrying on, verse 2, it says, do not be quick with your mouth. Don't be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. And here it is, God is in heaven and you are on earth. You see that perspective? God's in heaven, we are here on this earth. So let your words be few. Well, if we put that in our vernacular today, it might have different emphasis. But the point is, keep your eyes open, your ears open, your hearts open, and there are times for our mouths to be shut. Except for the little ones. I told one family that was here today, I said, don't worry, just come on in, bring your kids in. We have a group of little ones that run around in church and praise God in their own way, and we love kids. So Jesus never sent the children away. We love kids. And we've got a great bunch of kids here too. And teens. I don't want to leave you guys out. Do you realize that young lady, Lexi, was leading worship, helping lead worship this morning? Lexi, how long have you been coming here? 12 years? How old were you when you came? 7 years old. Never in my wildest imagination that I ever dreamed that Lexi would be one of the worship team. She has been trained patiently by Derek and others. She loves music. It's in her heart. It's in her soul. And she loves to sing. And she loves to play her guitar. And now she's a leader. We love our children. Come with a heart prepared. Come in humility. Bring with you those things that you want to offer to God. Bring a gift to God. In the Old Testament, those who came into God's presence in the temple always had a gift to give. They came knowing that that gift was a reminder of God's gift, His Son, Jesus Christ, whose blood was shed on the cross for the remission of our sins. And when they brought that little white lamb, innocent little white lamb that they had raised and they had fed carefully and they had kept it out of harm's way, didn't have a scratch on it, a sweet little innocent lamb. And when they shed the blood of that innocent lamb, they were reminded very vividly that the innocent Son of God would come to this earth as a lamb, an innocent lamb, and would die on the cross so that His blood that was shed on the cross would wipe out our sins, as clean as wool, like the white snow that falls on the mountains. We are whiter than snow. Yes, whiter than snow. There's a song we sing here, isn't there? Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. I know sometimes that just seems so out of this world, so unbelievable, so preposterous, almost, well, you know, it's almost like a fairy tale, but it is true. The Word of God tells us that Jesus Christ, is our Lamb. And Jesus Christ's death on the cross makes it possible for you and for me to enter into the kingdom. Ecclesiastes 5:2, our eyes must be open, our mouths must be shut. In other words, God hears, He hears the unaudible, the inaudible rather, and He sees the invisible. If you have concerns and your heart is heavy, if you are worried about the life that you are living, if you are worried and concerned about your job or your children or your grandchildren or your spouse, if there's a weight on your heart today, come before the presence of God and praise His holy name. Because in praising and worshiping God, it launches our faith. And when our faith is launched and our faith is based in the blood of Jesus Christ, then and only then can we truly have shalom. Then and only then can we truly worship. Isaiah 6:1 said, "And I saw the Lord lifted. He is seated on the high and lofty throne." Isaiah saw the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne, and His robe filled the temple. God is high and lifted up. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men." That means everybody. That doesn't mean just Christians. That doesn't mean just the good people. It means everybody. "I will draw all men to me. And those who come and proclaim and believe in my name, they are the ones that are part of the kingdom of heaven. They are the ones that I will take with me to heaven." And when you are at the throne of God, and the throne is high and lifted up, you also gain a whole new perspective and a whole new view of God's world. You know, when we're all thinking about our own concerns, we're all worried about our own concerns, we're all stressed out about our lives that we live, we're only looking at our own little perspective. It's a worldly perspective. But when we get up there with God and we worship in His very presence, when we look at His throne and we see it lifted up and we see Jesus Christ, suddenly the world perspective changes. Our lives change. "This is my Father's world." You sung that song, haven't you? Maybe we need to sing it more often. "This is our Father's world." He's in charge. The news may not tell you that, but the Bible will tell you. God's in charge. No matter how mean, no matter how ugly, no matter how distorted, no matter how frustrating your life might be, God ultimately is in charge. It's His will that will be fulfilled. And suddenly, as we look from God's perspective, our problems often seem minuscule. As God unfolds His plan for our lives and the future He has prepared for us, suddenly all the worries and the cares of this world fade away. Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, and He said, "A day will come. A day is coming when all will worship in truth and in spirit." Jesus also said, "I am the way and I am the truth. And he who comes to me believes." The Spirit wants to come. It wants to be part of the worship experience. We must allow it to move in our hearts. We must not hold it away and push it away. Another example of worshiping God is the widow. The widow who came to the temple one day, and Jesus was standing there and He watched people as they came into the temple. And many of them brought large bags and maybe even treasure chests full of offerings and money and offerings that obviously were only a part of their wealth, and they gave it to God. And this one little widow came quietly in and dropped her one little coin in the box. And Jesus said, "Truly, that woman has given more than all the rest. She gave everything she had." That is one perspective also we must keep in mind. As we come to worship God, we must give all. God doesn't mean our money. He means our hearts. He told Israel, he says, I don't want your offerings anymore. They're a stench to me. I want your hearts. God wants our hearts. And then there's a story in the Gospels about the publican who came to worship God, and he prayed, pounding his chest, bowing down before God and asking God to forgive him. He came as a sinner, realizing that the only place he could find forgiveness was in the very presence of a loving God. And off in the side here, in the middle of the main sanctuary, was another man, a man who was proud, a man who was arrogant, a man who thought he knew it all, a man who thought that he alone was worthy of salvation. He was self-righteous, and he was standing before God and thanking God that he was not like the publican. He really did not understand what it really meant to worship God. So worship... Worship is not an endurance contest. Even though some of you have little children, it is that when you have little children. I know that. I remember my boys crawling under the pews as I was preaching. I could watch them. I could see them. People would be going like this. I remember those days. Bless their little hearts. Now they get to deal with it. At least Rick does. Worship is also a marvelous adventure into the very presence of God. A marvelous adventure. It's a journey into the very presence of a holy, loving, merciful, gracious God who wants to give us all the gifts in His kingdom. He wants to pour out His blessings on us. And yes, there are sometimes in the midst of our fear, in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our suffering, our loss, whatever it is that goes through our minds, we have to look up and say, God, what's in your wallet? That's true. God understands. He understands us better than we even understand ourselves. We can trust God. We can trust Him to fulfill what He has promised. And He has promised to come and to dwell with us and to worship, to be in this place, this holy sanctuary where we come to worship, to praise His holy name. Think about it during the week, won't you? Think about what you have to offer God. Think about bringing something. Bring Him something. Whatever that is, make sure that it's the very best that you have. And keep in mind that most likely the very best that you have is your heart. He wants your heart.